Let's go to Matthew 9, 20 through 22. Matthew 9, 20 through 22. Praise God. Are we good? I can switch out if you need me to before we start recording. Praise God. Only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, "Be of good cheer, daughter, your faith has made you well." And the woman was made well from that hour. The woman was made well from that hour. King James would say, your faith has made you whole. And I want to use tonight just as, because this is a subject for our whole meeting, faith to be made whole. Faith to be made whole. Thank you, Father, tonight for giving us the opportunity to spend this time in your word. I thank you, Lord, because you have already anointed the word. I ask you to anoint me as your servant to minister to these, your precious people. I pray that, God, your people have hearing ears, seeing eyes, receiving hearts to receive the word of God. And I pray, Father, that, Lord, that the teaching anointing will be strong in this place and that God will not be looking for hype, but we're looking for the word, the seed of the word that will get planted into the soul of our hearts. Because, God, in this day and hour, if there was a time we needed faith, that time is now. In this crazy mixed up world, we need faith. In fact, Jesus said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith in the earth? God, we want it to be that he finds faith in our hearts. And so God, fill us with faith tonight by the word of God in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All right, faith to be made whole. My specific assignment I want to deal with, Pastor Burdenton, when he comes tomorrow, I've already asked him to focus his ministry on physical healing. Amen. Amen. He walks in a healing anointing, and so we'll believe in God tomorrow night. The people will come and will hear the word of God. You got to hear and be healed. And so you'll hear the word of God. And you know why it's important to hear the word of God on healing? Because you can get healed by the gifts of healings, working miracles, and walk out. And because you don't have the word, you'll lose it. You'll lose it. You got to get a foundation so that when we're not in service, you can keep your healing. Right? Praise God. So that's what has to happen. Now, my area is finances. That's my assignment. Pastor Kim's dealing with the soul. I guess she'll do that on Sunday. Because the Bible says we prosper and we're in health even as our souls prosper. And so in finances, we all would love to have just instant miracles. But we don't walk by miracles, we walk by faith. And the thing about finances is you have to have the word, because the word of God is what changes us on the inside. Y'all know my wife and I co-wrote a book, How to Become Rich. And that book is not some get-rich-quick plan on what to go do and do this and do that. It's how to become rich, because what we deal with is what's on the inside. Because if we can get the inside corrected, then it'll manifest on the outside. Amen? Now, the scripture says in Job 36, verse 11, I want us to read it together. Job 36, 11, let's read it together. Ready, read. If they obey, how many of y'all ever heard that verse before? So if they obey and serve him, two things, obey and serve him, then two results. You're going to spend your days and your years. So days and years implies here a lifestyle of prosperity and pleasure. A lifestyle. You know, the Bible says the pleasures of sin are just for a season. I was telling, I don't know if that, maybe here Sunday or somewhere, I was telling somebody that, you know, the Bible says the pleasures of sin are for a season, but the Bible says that at God's right hand, there are pleasures evermore. I traded off the seasonal pleasure for the evermore pleasure. That little temporary little high you get from sin. How many of y'all you ever felt that temporary high from sin? You know sin feels good, but it's only for a season. Amen? At some point, sin becomes... It's a chore. It'll become, you'll start reaping the repercussions from sin. But as God's right hand, there are pleasures evermore. So the Bible says here that we'll spend our days in prosperity and our years in pleasures. In other words, we're supposed to be chronically blessed. Everybody say, I'm chronically blessed. You know, people talk about chronic pains and chronic illnesses and stuff like that. Well, the Bible says you and I should be chronically blessed. If we would obey God and serve him, you can't serve two masters. Matthew 6, right around verse 24. No man can serve two masters. Either he's going to love the one and hate the other. He's going to cleave to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and that mammon system, that financial system. So one thing we have to do is make sure that when we are in the kingdom of God, learning how to live by faith in the kingdom of God, that we begin to switch who we serve. That we don't serve money anymore. I've heard Apostle Derber say this, Dad Derber say that money is a horrible master, but it's a beautiful servant. You don't ever want money to master you. You want to master money. Serve God. Serve God. And then if we do that, then we'll spend our days in prosperity, years in pleasures, right? Okay, another scripture, you know this, in 3 John chapter 1 and verse 2, there's only one chapter in 3 John, right? Yes. King James Version is the one we grew up on, and it says this way, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest, what? Prosper and be in health, even as. So John says, my highest wish, and John's speaking by the Spirit of God, so the highest wish for us is that we will prosper and be in health even as our souls prosper. That's why we have the assignment, the three of us, to deal with soul prosperity, health, and our financial prosperity. Because those are the three areas that God gives us in this life. Those are the three areas all your buddies at work and all your friends, all your cousins are going after these things, financial prosperity, health, and their soul being right. That's why everybody's trying to be mindful. They got all mindfulness and yoga and all these things they're trying to do is find their chi and trying to find their center. They're trying to get their souls to prosper. Why are they doing yoga? They're trying to get their souls to prosper. They're burning candles and sage trying to get their souls to prosper. But your soul can't prosper without the word of God. Y'all got this here. And then, of course, if we do that, then the Bible says we will prosper. That's a financial prosperity and be in health. Got it? Now, I'm moving quickly because I want to get somewhere here. In 3 John 1, verse 2, from the New King James, the one we're used to using here in this church, listen to how it's written. It says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things. Now, there's a little different tone here, that you'll prosper in all things. And this is good because there are people within the church, not this church, hopefully, but within the universal church, who will ridicule us for even bringing up prosperity. Am I right about it? Okay. They will pick on us and they will dog us out and call us heretics because we even mention prosperity. Yet they go to work 80 hours a week. Trying to prosper. Trying to do for themselves what God says I will do for you if you let me. Okay? So he says, I want you to prosper in all things. This is good because for those who say, well, no, this prosperity doesn't mean finance. It means something else. Okay. Yeah, I'm sure it means other things, but he says in all things. So in all things, would that include financial prosperity? I mean, does God want you to prosper in your marriage?
Yes.
Does God want you to prosper in your family life?
Yes.
Does God want you to prosper in your ministry?
Yes.
Well, I believe if all things is there, it means that he wants you to prosper also in finances.
Yes.
Some people, the reason why their mind is not right is because their finances aren't right. Other folk, their finances aren't right because their mind isn't right. You got stinking thinking, right? And so we want to prosper in all things and be in health even as our souls prosper. All right? Now, I want to read that verse one more place, translation from the Amplified Classic. Amplified Classic. Listen to what it says. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in every way. Everybody say in every way. Thank you, Lord. In every way. So whatever way you think about it. Hallelujah. Do you know this whole Bible is about prosperity?
Yes, sir.
There, again, people will pick on us because we mention prosperity.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what's wrong. What I mean, you want us to preach poverty?
Right.
You want us to preach just barely getting by? You want us to preach tail, not the head? Oh, you know, beneath only and not above? What should we preach? Well, I mean, what should we preach? No, preach about marriage. We do. Preach about families. We do. Preach about, you know, we're dealing with stuff out there in the world. Yeah, we do. We do deal with that. But in every way means in every way. Because most people, or I shouldn't say most, I can't quantify, but many people come to church and they can't holler praise God. And it's because. Most, I grew up in church. A lot of people, they testimony service used to be a plea time. Church, y'all pray for me because I'm sure going through. I'm believing God for a new refrigerator. Believing God for a new refrigerator. What you're doing is telling your business, trying to get somebody to break you off a little something. Right? No, that's not how we're supposed to operate. We serve a good God. I said we serve a good God. And the Bible said goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your
life.
So we're supposed to be enjoying the benefits of serving a good God. Hallelujah. God will take care of you. Whatever be tithes, they say that. Well, let's let him do it. I mean, if God wants to bless you, what are you going to do, turn him down? When it says all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you, what, you going to turn them down? No, I don't believe all that. Yeah, but you slide by 7-Eleven at 3 o'clock in the morning, getting you one of them little tickets.
Come on now. Preach it.
Huh? You hopping that bridge to that casino across the bridge across there over there. I'm talking about that prosperity. Well, why you keep going to the casino then?
Preach, man of God.
Come on now.
Because you're trying to prosper. And God is saying, if you just obey me and serve me, you'll spend all your life like that. Amen? Now, what I want you to understand is that financial prosperity is included in our redemption package. Financial prosperity is included in our redemption package. We have a redemption package.
Yes, sir.
We understand that when God made everything, God created everything, we learned the three segments of human existence is creation, the fall, and redemption, right? So creation, God created everything, and when he made it, created everything, he made everything whole. He said everything is good. He saw everything that he made, and it was good. That word good, we could extrapolate to it that it means whole. It was perfect. God made everything the way it's supposed to be. He didn't partially do anything. In fact, the Bible says that he does all things well. All things well. Another word for well, you'll see it in the Greek, is whole. So God makes everything whole, makes everything perfect. Now what happened, sin came along, the devil deceived Eve and got Adam to disobey God. And then man fell, and because man fell, all the sin and all the results of sin came into the world. Right? That's where that's how poverty got here. There was no poverty before Adam and Eve sinned. There was no sickness and disease before Adam and Eve sinned. It was perfect. Right? You know, y'all might want to pop Eve in the head when you get to heaven. Some of y'all ladies, I might want to pop Adam in the head. Amen. Come here, let me talk to you for a minute. No, not last Adam, first Adam. You come here. Y'all let you for a minute. But the last Adam came and redeemed us. Right? And in that redemption, we are redeemed from the curse. Right? So that's how now we can receive healing in our bodies. I mean, even under the old covenant, God told the children of Israel, I am your redeemer. I'm your healer. I'm your redeemer. And so he was healing them. He said, I'll put none of the diseases on you that I put on Egypt. He said, I'm the Lord. I heal thee. I heal thee of all your diseases. That was under the old covenant. So now I'm under the new covenant. I'm not telling you're not going to get sick. I'm not one of those ones that's going to go to that extreme and say, you're never going to get sick. No disease ever going to hit your body. If I stood there and told you that, I'd be a liar. We're in a fallen world. But we have a right to be healed. We're in a fallen world, but we have a right to prosper. We have a right to have joy. We have a right to have peace. We have a right to walk in love. Amen? And we need faith to do all that. So financial prosperity is included in our redemption package. Okay? Now, one of the names of Jesus that we know from Isaiah 9:6 is the Prince of Peace. Everybody say the Prince of Peace. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace, the Prince who's in charge of peace, the Prince who brings peace. That word peace comes from the Hebrew word shalom. Shalom. By the way, we're just now in Passover season. So if you run into any Jewish person, you just shalom, shalom, shalom. They're all going around this week. Shalom, shalom. Amen. And so he's the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Shalom. Now, if you met someone, they were the Prince of, let's say, I almost said Persia, but that was a demon spirit. The Prince of Zamunda. That's Prince Akin. Greetings, great prince. That meant you're the one in charge. You have authority, right? Amen. You're sovereign in that kingdom. So Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. He's the one, the sovereign over peace. That word peace again is shalom. That word shalom means completeness. So he's the Prince of Completeness. That's where we get the phrase nothing missing, nothing lacking. The word soundness, that's where we get nothing broken. So when we say shalom, it's nothing missing, nothing lacking, nothing broken. He's a prince over completeness, soundness. He's a prince over welfare, not meaning this government handout, you know, good cheese. Remember, y'all remember? How many y'all remember? Thank you. I got one witness in there. Oh, got two. Okay. That was you want to make a good grilled cheese sandwich. Not peanut butter cookies. Peanut butter cookies and, you know, that. Now, you said that's when they canned meat, too, now. And so, not that welfare. This welfare means to farewell. To farewell. So he's a prince over you faring well, doing well. It includes the word peace, which is just a tranquility and a serenity, okay? It includes the word safety. He's a prince over safety. He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. He is a Prince of Peace. We call him the Lord of Angel Armies. Right? He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Health.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. With long life, I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. Right? So health doesn't just come. You can't just get health in vitamins. Thank God for vitamins and, you know, supplements. Thank God for the gym. We need to go to the gym a little more. I'm trying to work my way there. But you don't want to do all that and not live under the auspices of the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Health. Amen? Health comes from God. And then finally, the word that we see in that meaning, Hebrew meaning, is the word prosperity. So he's a Prince of prosperity. So you can work hard, and it's okay. I'm not down at work. I think God's people need to be working a little bit harder. It's quiet on this. I think God's people need to be working a little bit hard. I think God's people fall into the trap sometimes of, I'm just going to use my faith. My faith's going to bring it in. No, he said, I'm going to bless the work of your hands. Let's see if I can find some other stuff. I'm going to bless the work of your hands. And sometimes we want to use our faith as a crutch for not working, not achieving, not educating ourselves. We don't need all the education. Yes, you do. Yeah. Get a trade. Get a degree. Get a certificate in something. And put your hands to work. Amen. It may be your own business, but you got to do something. Okay? But don't do all that and then lean on your own ability, your own understanding. You got to lean on the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Prosperity, because he's the one who governs prosperity. Give me the scripture meeting. This is off. Give me Ecclesiastes 2:26. Ecclesiastes 2:26, one of my favorite verses here. Because he's the one in charge of this prosperity.
Yes, sir.
Okay? They'll get it here. This, when I go off script, they have to find it. Okay? Look at what it says here. It says, for God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight. But to the sinner he gives the work of gathering and collecting, that he may have to give to him who is good before God. This also is vanity and grasping for the wind. So notice, God has the ability, and God's in charge, Jesus Christ and the Father, they're one, to direct people in the world to work hard, gather, collect, for the sole purpose of God giving it to those who are good in his sight. So he's a Prince of Prosperity. Are y'all seeing this here? So everybody in the world, in other words, catch this. Everybody works for Jesus. I don't know if nobody caught us back here. Everybody works for Jesus. Whether you're a sinner, a heathen, a low-down, rotten scoundrel, everybody works for Jesus. But that'll help somebody right there. That's why the Bible says, don't fret yourself because of evildoers. Don't be envious against workers of iniquity. They shall soon be cut down like the grass and withered as the green herb. You just simply, verse 4, delight, that's Psalm 37, verse 1. Go to verse 4, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Why? He's in charge of all this. He's in charge of all this. He's in charge of everybody, your uncle, your cousin, your neighbor. They all working for Jesus. So the people like to show off at work and look down on you because you're one of those go to church people. Say, God, it's all right. Do your thing. You're working for Jesus. Oh, no. I'm an atheist. I don't believe in that Jesus. I don't need that crutch. Pull out Ecclesiastes 2:26 and show them. You working for Jesus, bro. Hallelujah. Y'all got this here. So he's a Prince of Peace, the Prince of Shalom here. All right. Now, so Jesus, his whole earthly ministry was geared towards making people whole in every area of life. The scripture we know, many of us know so well, Luke 4, verse 18 and 19. Luke 4, verses 18 and 19. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because, now he's explaining his ministry here. He has anointed me to, boom, preach the gospel to the poor. First thing, right off rip, my ministry is to the poor. To preach the gospel, which is the rewards of the good news. The gospel, if you look at the word for gospel, is not just, if you go deeper in it, not just the good news, but the rewards of the good news. So I'm anointed to preach to you, Jesus saying, the rewards of the good news to the poor. He's not talking about them going to heaven. He's talking about them showing them a kingdom, showing them a way. Because remember now, they're under, at that time when he comes, they're under Roman occupation, Roman oppression. They're in fact being oppressed by even their own people. Those tax collectors that they hated, those tax collectors were Jews. The tax collectors, they were not Romans, they were Jews oppressing their own people. Even the religious leaders were oppressing. That's why Jesus went into the temple and cast out all the money changers, because they were abusing the people. Are y'all catching this here? So I got to give some good news to the poor that, hey, you don't have to live like that anymore. He's coming to make them whole. Then he says, I'm also anointed to heal the brokenhearted. When you heal the brokenhearted, what are you doing? You're making them whole again. Brokenhearted, whole again. Got it? Liberty to the captives and recover of sight to the blind. People who are missing something, they're bound. I'm making them whole again. Y'all seeing that? To set at liberty those who are oppressed. I'm bringing completeness, soundness, safety, health, prosperity back into their lives, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. In other words, another translation would say the year of the Lord's release. In other words, the year of Jubilee or the year of favor. To say this isn't just a once every 50 years occurrence. It's now your normal. Right? The 11th chapter of John, Jesus shows up at Lazarus' grave 4 days late. Jesus let him die. He didn't hustle. Lazarus sick. That means you got to stop rushing just because you hear somebody sick. Okay. And you let him die. But he said the sickness is not unto death. He got there and, you know, Martha says, Jesus, we know if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Well, no, he would have let him die. Because his old disciples that, you know, you're going to believe something after you see this. So he had to die. And he said, Martha, don't you believe that he's going to rise again? She says, yeah, I believe he shall rise at the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said, ho. Wait a minute. You don't see my name tag? I am the resurrection. Are you catching this here? So when he says here, proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, he says, I am the Jubilee. See, he came correcting all kind of things. Remember, often through the scriptures, when he was in ministry, Jesus loved to do things on the Sabbath. I think he just liked to get on their nerves. He just liked to bother them and kick over their sacred cows and turn over all that stuff. He always found a way to do something unlawful on the Sabbath. One time they're walking through the fields, they pluck heads of grain. And the people say, hey, Jesus, it's unlawful. They shouldn't be doing this, plucking heads of grain, eating on the Sabbath. And he said, don't you remember when David and his men went into the temple and they were hungry and they ate the showbread, which is not lawful for them to eat? Right. They ate the showbread. Right. And he said, don't you understand that the Sabbath, man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man? So he overturns their apple cart. He said the man wasn't made for the Sabbath. Sabbath was made for man. In other words, he said, I want you to understand, we're in a new paradigm. We're in a new way of thinking. So he says, I'm bringing to you the year of Jubilee. It's not going to be once every 50 years. If you walk with me, you're going to spend your days in prosperity. You're going to spend your years in pleasure. You're going to enjoy Jubilee every day. Are you following what I'm saying to you? Thank you, Lord. And the Jubilee Captives were set free. Yes. Debts were canceled. Yes. Captives were set free. Yes. Debts were canceled. Land was restored to its rightful owners. And he says, so now that I'm here, all that debt's canceled. Somebody ought to holler about that, doggone it. Debts canceled. Captives set free. Land restored back to you. That's what we live in now under this new dispensation. Y'all got it? All right. So his whole ministry was making people whole. Go to John 5. John 5, because here, I'm not going to read all of it, but I want you to see at least a couple of verses here in John 5. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. This feels good. I haven't had this teaching anointing in a while.
Hey.
John 5. And there's a story here about when Jesus goes to a place called the Pool of Bethesda. They're celebrating a feast. You see that in verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews. We don't know which feast it was. Might have been Passover, might have been Pentecost, might have been Tabernacles. Well, it wasn't Tabernacles because they would have been tabernacling. So either feast of really, you tabernacle during tabernacle. Sukkoths or booths, right? But here at Passover, they go up to the feast, or at Pentecost, they go up to the feast, right? So there, he said, but in Jerusalem, there's by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. Now, let me get down to my verse, because there's a man here, we know the story. In case you don't know the story, let me just paraphrase it. He's waiting on the troubling of the water. Right? It was said that an angel will come down at a certain time, a certain season, and trouble the water, and whoever stepped in first would be healed of whatever plague he had. So Jesus goes there and he encounters this man, and the Bible says in verse 5, now a certain man was there how long? 38 years. He had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? Now notice the man, the Bible says, had an infirmity. In fact, people all in there, you read back in verse 3, they were sick and blind and lame and paralyzed, sick and blind and lame and paralyzed, sick and blind and lame. They all kind of conditions. Now this man, the Bible says, has an infirmity. Infirmity literally is, it's a sickness, but the simplest word to describe it is weakness. Weakness. Everybody say weakness. Paul says, I rather glory in my infirmities. For when I am weak, then am I strong. You got it? So infirmity is a weakness. Weakness means you're deficient in something. It means you lack something. Y'all got this here. So it's a lack of strength. Or if you allow me to just put something on top of this here, financial lack. Can we just look at this financially for a moment?
Yes,
so this man has this, if you allow, a financial infirmity. Not this man in the story. I'm talking about if you put yourself in the story for this Tuesday night, financial infirmity. Y'all got it? Financial lack. And the Bible says he's had it for 38 years. That's a long time. Remember we looked at David the last couple of Sundays in 2 Samuel 21, whatever it was, and it says in verse 1 that he they had this famine. It was 3 years, year after year. I want you to see that, a continual lack. I mean, there are people who have been in lack. They've never known prosperity. I mean, think about some children who grow up and have never known prosperity. I mean, beyond tax season. Everybody feel rich. January, February, March, boy, you're eating Chick-fil-A every day long. Come May, you're back to ramen noodles. And that's too many people like that.
Too many.
Especially in the church. But it's an infirmity. In fact, I preached a message some time ago, I think it was 2022, some 2023, loose from financial infirmities. You probably need to go back and review that, because there's a whole thing I taught about in the soul, because the infirmity is really in the soul. That's why the Bible just says that you got to prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. We got to get our thinking right. The problem, the real issue is not in our hands. The real lack is in our heads, in our hearts. It's not having things nailed down in our hearts. I know y'all, some of y'all look at me like, Pastor, we've heard it before. I know, but when are you going to get it? Until you show me some symptoms of improvement, I got to keep shooting you with this medicine. Oh, you hearing? You got to show symptoms of improvement. If you don't, okay, we got to try another course of medicine. I got to try something. I got to find another scripture. I got to come somewhere because I'm trying to get you healed in your heart, healed in your mind, so you can be healed in your finances and healed in your body. So don't look at me with that tone of voice like, Pastor, I don't want to hear that. Praise God. So you can be in lack. This man was 38 years. My question is for you is how long is enough? How long is enough? Jesus asked this man in verse 6 a question that seems ludicrous. To ask this question to a man who's infirm, and we know by infirmity he's either sick, blind, lame, or paralyzed, one of those. He's infirm and been there 38 years, and Jesus has the audacity to ask him, do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be healed? Well, you're like, of course, Jesus, but Jesus didn't assume that. Because he knows that sometimes people can become so comfortable in their condition that they rather have the handout than the hand up. That they can become accustomed to the charity. Glory to God. No matter how much offer, how many answers how much did you offer and how many answers there are, they're more comfortable in their being a charity case. You know how people go to prison and get institutionalized? And they come out still eating ramen noodles and Cheetos in there and goulash. They still come out with that still, you know, it takes a while to break that. You can become institutionalized in poverty. That you're so used to the light bill being late. You can't imagine. You can get $10,000 put in your hands and you're not going to pay the light bill on time. Because you're so, you know, that. Can I just tell you something? That's why I was telling somebody, I think it was Deacon Mac. We were talking Sunday. We were walking out. Coming in the service Sunday, yes, and I was saying, Deke, I just don't, for the life of me, I just don't understand how people are so consistently late to church. Right. You know what we were saying, Deke? I said, I don't get it. We start at 10:30. That ain't late enough.
It don't matter what time.
I mean, how you get to work at 8 o'clock? How you get to work at 8:30? How you find a way to consistently, you never on time. I don't understand how you never on time. I don't want to say he's an on time God. Yes, he is. Well, how you never on time?
Come on, Lisa. Come on.
See, because what happens, you can become so set in a way.
Yes, sir.
38 years, just so set in a way. Here comes help. Here comes answers. Here comes hope. But I'm so set in my ways. My question is, how long is enough? And Jesus had to ask the question, do you want to be made well? Do you want to? Jesus probably pondering now, 38 years, you've been a long time. Seem to me like you should have scooched up to the front, sat on that lip, and just sat there. Just don't scooch and then it don't work and then you go back. No, get there and stay there. And you got to say at least 1 year I'm going to be first. 1 year I'm going to get this. 1 year. 1 year I'm going to break out of this rut. 1 year I'm going to get it. 1 year I'm going to get out of here. You know that man said, I have no man to put me into the water. And Jesus just ignored that completely and said, look, Here I am. I'm the living water. I'm paraphrasing. I'm the living water. You don't have to get in that water. Here I am right now. Rise, take up your bed and walk. He's giving him an answer. But again, the question he asked him that we got to deal with is this here. Do you want to be made well? King James says, wilt thou? That's how I grew up. Wilt thou be made whole? That word wilt is old English word for will. Will you be made whole? Everybody say that's a simple word. Say it again. That's a simple word. Will you be made whole? Like, for example, if I ask you, will you come over tonight? Right? Simple word. We use it in our everyday language. Will you go to the store with me? Now, the word will is not can. I didn't say, can you go to the store with me? I said, will you? I'm not questioning your ability. I'm questioning your desire. Jesus didn't ask the man, can you be made whole? He said, will you be made whole? What he's asking, what he's inquiring about is what's in your will? What's in your desire? What do you want? You remember the Bible says two blind men came to Jesus Christ crying out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus said, what do you want me to do? They said, he said, what do you want me to do? Now, Jesus, come on, Jesus. Dudes are blind. What do you think they want, Jesus? But he makes no assumptions. Because these two blind men were beggars, had beggars' coats on. They identified with their poverty. They identified with their beggar status. They identified with that. In fact, the Bible talks about blind Bartimaeus. It gives a different story. Blind Bartimaeus comes in one time, and Jesus, he's going to deal with him. And blind Bartimaeus says, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, Jesus Christ. He healed him. And the Bible says blind Bartimaeus, he called him. And the Bible says blind Bartimaeus threw off that beggar's clothes. He wasn't healed yet, but he heard a call. I'm about to get my answer, my deliverance. The only reason I'm begging is because I can't see. But if I can see, I ain't going to need this beggar clothes no more. So I got to find out, what's your will? What do you want? Do you want to be made whole? Can I go a little step further with that? Your will, matter of fact, I gave that word will, wilt, is the Greek word thelo, which means to will, to have in mind, to intend, to be resolved or determined. Resolved or determined. To purpose, to desire, to wish. Now, I want to go over that again. To will, to have in mind, to intend, to be resolved or determined, to purpose, to desire, to wish. Here's what I wanted to get you to understand. Jesus didn't ask the man, are you tired of being infirmed? Y'all didn't catch that.
Yes,
he didn't ask him, are you tired of being sick? Are you tired of being broke? Are you tired of being depressed? Are you tired of being anxious? That wasn't the question. Because he knew, Jesus knew this, and you got to know this, there's no power in being tired. You don't get deliverance from being tired. You can be tired of something and stay in it the rest of your life. His question was not, are you tired of where you are? His question was, do you want to be made whole? Because your will, thank you, Lord. I'm trying, Lord, help me to show this. There are times I've loaded a wagon, you know, loaded a cart or something, and I find it's easier to push it than it is to pull it. Thank you, Holy Ghost. He's so good. It's easier to push it than it is to pull it. Now, I can't explain Newton's laws of physics as why that is. My wife probably could. I don't know. All I know is just from experience, if you got a loaded cart, a loaded wagon, it's easier to push it than it is to pull it. To be tired of something, you got to still pull. Being tired of something will not push you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Proverbs says something like this. I'm gonna just paraphrase. A hungry man's desire will drive him on.
Push your tail. Come on, sir.
Thank you, Holy Ghost. A hungry man's desire will drive him. Not the fact that he's just, I'm tired of being hungry, but his desire will drive him. So Jesus didn't ask the man, are you tired of being sick? Are you tired of being weak? Are you tired of being broke? He want to know what's your desire. Because if he can tap into your desire is going to push you. And the reason a lot of God's people still are broke. I could add sick and all that kind of stuff. But my focus tonight is broke. And struggling is because you're just tired of not having
it. Preach, man of God. Preach, man of God.
Matter of fact, can I tell you the truth? I found a lot of God's people don't look like they tired yet. I'm tired for them.
I'm tired
for you.
I'm tired.
I almost want to say I'm tired of you, but I can't say that because I don't get tired of people. Not as a shepherd. You don't have to get tired of people as a shepherd.
You keep showing up. Come on, man.
You keep showing up. You keep plugging. You keep massaging. You keep stretching. You keep stroking. You keep pouring oil and all that stuff like that. But I'm like, the reason why you're there. Is there's no desire for change. You're tired of where you are. That's good. That's a good starting block. But you got to get a desire. In other words, you got to have a goal out in front of you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Lord. Something. Paul didn't say. He didn't say. But this one thing I do, forgetting that which is behind me. He said that was after. He said this one thing I do. I press. I press. So I had to have something in front of me. Now I forget what's behind me, but I got to make sure I press to what's in front of me. Do you want to be made well? Thank you, Media. They found the scripture I was referring to, Proverbs 16:26. The person who labors for himself, for his hungry mouth drives him on. Your hungry mouth will drive you on. So there's got to be something that drives you on. Oh man, I got to hurry up. Okay, so again, put that word up again, wilt, thelo, again, which means to will, to have in mind, intend, to be resolved or determined. Can y'all say determined?
Determined.
In other words, we say like this in the old days, I done made up my mind. I got a well-made up mind. That's what we used to say in the back. I got a well-made up mind to serve the Lord. I wasn't just tired of sin. I got a made up mind to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Because tired of sin won't keep you out of sin.
No.
You'll keep on going right back. You got to have a made up mind to serve the Lord. Determined to purpose, to desire, to wish, to want something. Isaiah 55, verse 1 and 2. Give me those verses, please. Isaiah 55, verse 1 and 2.
Yes, sir.
Y'all can find Isaiah 55. You want to kind of highlight this or circle it or put a star by it, check mark or something. Because this is what Jesus is dealing with here. He says, ho, listen, okay? Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. So God is obviously, Jesus is showing us a whole different system here. Because you know you can't walk into Publix and buy anything without money, without price. You can't even walk into Save-A-Lot and do that.
That's right.
don't care where you can't walk into Goodwill without money, without price. I'm going to go to a thrift store. I don't care. You still better have some money in that thrift store. So he's talking about a whole different system of operating, right? This is faith system. Look at verse 2. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. Here's the key verse, key part of that verse for me. And let your soul do what? So he's offering abundance. He said you got to delight in it. And he said, but you got to let your soul do it. Let your soul desire, wish, be resolved to have abundance. So in other words, he says the valve that controls the abundance in us is right there in our souls. So my soul is a gateway into financial prosperity.
Amen.
Prosper and be in health even as my soul prospers. Y'all got this here? Y'all sure y'all got it?
Yes.
Okay, go to Luke, please. Luke. I'm going to wrap it up here in a minute. Luke 5. Luke 5. I want you to come back tomorrow night. Can't keep you all night. Luke 5. See, I got to get my soul right. Okay? That's why we're preaching these two nights. You know, you got to get this health thing right too now. I don't want to infringe on his teaching. I don't know what they're going to talk about tomorrow night, but I know it's too much stuff out here going around.
It is.
They're doing too much to the food.
And the water.
And the air. For us to not nail down this health issue. Okay? Luke 5. And let me find where I'm going. Luke 5 and verse 12. Luke 5 verse 12. Because remember, Jesus asked that man, do you want to be made well? He got to find his desire. Luke 5 verse 12. And it happened when he was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy. Leprosy is a disease of the skin. All right? Just like we have diseases of the spirit. And I can allow this disease of the finances. He saw Jesus. When you're leprous, the worse it gets, the more apparent it becomes.
Right.
Leprosy can range from anything that what we might call today just a skin rash to eczema.
Right.
Eczema is a very, very, very low level type of leprosy. It's not, don't think about this disease thing like, you know. But it ranges. When you read leprosy in the Bible, it'll range anywhere from that to where limbs or parts of your body, flesh is literally falling off. So we don't know where this man was on the spectrum. Okay? He was on the spectrum somewhere. I don't know if he was just tired of eczema, itching all day long, or if he had, you know, skin falling off and everything. But I want you to look at how desire looks, how determination, how resolve looks, how a will looks. He fell on his face.
Jesus.
I know y'all theologians want to go right past that, but he fell on his face. And I'm saying, when you get this desire enough, when you're, if you allow the sick and tired of being sick and tired, when you made up in your mind, I can't live like this another year. I can't go through this mess anymore. I cannot do this again, and I will not pass this to my children and my grandchildren. It's going to be different for them. At some point, if you're desperate enough, you're going to fall on your face. And I contend in our modern day church, Pastor, maybe we got to go back to building the churches like they used to. They used to have an altar across the front. None of y'all remember that. Y'all too young. All y'all grew up in contemporary churches. We didn't have no altars, and you know. But back in the old church, we had an altar on front. And the altar was a place where people came and threw themselves down before God. Kneel down, they cry, and they weep. And it didn't matter if it was just offering time at a welcome. When you were done, I've seen people who've come in here, and we don't even have an altar per se. But we have people come in here on a Tuesday, on a Thursday morning, and just lay themselves down on the floor because, God, I'm tired. They're falling on their faces. See, my question is, for many of us and those y'all online, how bad are you going to let it get before you fall on your face? Because desperation has a look to it. Determination has a look to it. I know this ain't a good faith word. When you're tired. Oh, I can't say I'm tired. When you're tired. When you've had enough. You fall on your face. And it may not be here in the church, but it may. Maybe in your bedroom or on your bathroom floor, it's got to be someplace. Can I talk to somebody? It's got to be someplace at some point where you say, enough is enough. I've had it. That did it. I'm going to fall on my face before God. This man fell on his face. That's what I want to ask. Is your situation bad enough for you to fall on your face? And notice it says, he said, Lord, if you are willing. Now he asked the Lord what he willing to do. I know what you can do. I heard one of the greatest preachers walk this planet. I heard him preach his message one time. Dr. Jerry Savelle, who just moved to heaven. I heard him preach this message one time. I re-preached his message.
Amen. My God.
Can God, will God, and how's he going to do it? Based on this same scripture right here. I know God can. I believe he will. I just don't know how is he going to do it. But he said, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then he put out his hand and touched him. Jesus put out his hand and touched him and saying, I am willing. Be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, the testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. Look at verse 15. However, the report went out concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to what?
Hear
and to be
healed
of their by him of their infirmities, weaknesses. Now remember, I know we're talking about physical things here, but we're putting on top of this your financial issues.
Yes, sir.
So notice what I want to bring out of this spot here was that they came to hear and be healed. To hear and be healed. So many times people want God to do this instant overnight miracle in their finances. And if God dropped $1 million in your pocket today, without your mind being renewed, it'll be gone in no time at all. It'll be gone in no time at all. Are y'all hearing this? So if you can hear right, you can believe right. That's why Romans 10:17 says, well, y'all know Romans 10:17? So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Everybody say,
so then faith
comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now I know we like to say faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Okay, and that's true. We should hear and hear and hear. But within context, that scripture, what it's saying is your faith comes by hearing and your hearing comes by the word of God. So the word of God opens your hearing.
Amen.
The word of God opens your hearing. And now that your hearing is open, faith comes. Did y'all catch that? The word of God opens your hearing, and now that you hear, now faith comes. So that's why you and I must put ourselves around the word of God. In fact, when you read that, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, the actual Greek would say by the rhema or the preached word of God. So it's not simply you opening, you know, having your Bible and somebody reading a scripture. It's the preach word. That's why you got to come into a meeting like this and have somebody preach the word of God to you. Because when I'm preaching, or we're preaching faith. We're preaching revelation to you. And your faith is supposed to be growing. Amen? Then the Bible talks about it in Galatians 3 verse 5. Galatians 3 verse 5 says, therefore he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you. So let me just deal with the fact, he who supplies, .. and works miracles, even financial miracles among you. Are y'all, he's okay if I do that. I'm not trying to. damage of scripture? Does he do it by the works of the law or by the what?
Hearing.
Well, what's the answer?
The hearing of faith.
So your hearing must be a hearing of faith, not a hearing of criticism. So don't sit here with your theological mind trying to criticize or critique my preaching. Because if you do that, you ain't going to get nothing. You need a hearing of faith to have your hearing open to receive the word of God so that you can get what God is trying to supply and work in our lives. Are y'all hearing that? So you got to hear something. So that's what happened to that woman back in Matthew 9 that we dealt with. Let's work to our close here. This woman, if you know the story, you read about this same story in Matthew 9, in Mark 5. You also read about it in the book of Luke, okay? And we know she heard something. In fact, in Mark 5:27, you know the term that I'll put on the screen for us. Mark 5:27 says when she heard about Jesus. This is that woman.
Yeah.
Y'all got it? Yeah. When she heard about Jesus. So what sparked her faith was she heard something. She heard about Jesus. She heard, if you were reading this in the Orthodox Jewish Bible, it would say, when she heard about Yeshua. Yeshua. We call him Yeshua, Yeshua HaMashiach, right? So Yeshua is the Hebrew version of Jesus, right? Yeshua, where we get the same word Joshua or Jehoshua from that word, right? Which means salvation, it means deliverance, it means victory. So she heard about Jesus, she heard about salvation, she heard about deliverance, she heard about victory. So when you come into a church where people are preaching faith, what you're going to hear every time is salvation. Victory, deliverance, healing, breakthrough, miracle, open doors, God doing something. So we don't get here and preach and tell you how to cope with what you're going through. We don't even preach escapism. What I mean by that, we don't sit there and preach about the rapture. We'll just hold on because one day Jesus is coming. He's going to get us all out of here. We don't preach about that. Now, we know he is coming, but he's not coming for us to escape. The Bible says you and I have already escaped from the corruption that's in the world. We've already escaped the corruption that's in the world. So you and I are supposed to be living above this world system, so you're going to always hear preaching. So don't try to come and make Pastor Burden preach something different.
Amen.
Oh, Pastor Burden, you need to preach eschatology. That ain't his lane.
Come on.
That's end times. Pastor, preach about the rapture. That ain't my lane.
Damn.
Preach about the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. That ain't my lane. Just make sure you're saved and ready. So when it happens, you're going to be there. Pastor, you need to preach prophecy. Every time I open my mouth, I'm prophesying. What you talking about? That's what we have. We have a more sure word of prophecy. See, what people call prophecy today is not prophecy. People are chasing prophecy, but New Testament prophecy is proclaiming the word of God. It's not foretelling now, it's forthtelling. People going to prophecy school. Trying to learn how to prophesy? You mean forthtelling? See, what happens is people have this Old Testament theology about prophecy and want us to, everybody to do that. What? Are you nuts? Why don't you learn what you're looking for is word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Why don't you learn the difference? Yeah, but people want the hoota. So all you gotta get is space music. Oh, y'all follow what I'm saying to you? So no, the lane is to teach you. See, you know why people want the prophecy? Y'all want to know why people want the prophecy? Because they want a quick answer. God's gonna do it for me. Not hear and be healed. Not be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That takes time. Okay? But that's not what we're doing. This woman heard about Jesus. And notice what the Bible says then. Go back to Matthew 9. I want to get there. Okay? Because when you hear, you got to do something. You can't just hear something, you got to do something. Okay? Too many God's people are still sick and bound and broke and busted and disgusted because they stop at merely hearing. But when you had enough of your condition, you're not going to stop at just hearing, you're going to do something. Okay? You know, James 1:22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. So just to hear is not enough. You got to do something. Matthew 9, 20 through 22, again, it's the same story we see in Mark 5. And this woman, in fact, can put up Mark 5:26 for them real quick. I want them to see that, Mark 5:26, just to show you this woman's condition, how bad off she was. Mark 5:26. Notice it says, and she had suffered
many things, many
physicians, so she got a physical issue, and then has spent all that she had. So now she's sick and broke.
Yes, sir.
And is no better,
no better, but
rather grew worse. Think that if she spent all she had, suffered many things, I mean, every time they had some kind of experimental medicine, some kind of experimental thing. She's okay, I'm gonna try it. Spit something. But what do you do now that you spent everything?
They won't even see you now.
Y'all know how it is when your insurance runs out. They said, oh, you can go home from the hospital now. It's okay, your insurance ran out. I'm telling you how they do that. They'll release you. Your insurance run out for the year, they will release you. So she wasn't better, but she rather grew worse. She rather grew worse. All right, so Matthew 9:20, let me do this real quick. So suddenly, Matthew 9:20, suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. So she had a flow of blood. Everybody say bleeding. Now, blood is supposed to be circulating within a closed system, right? Bleeding is not normal. Okay? This flow she had was not normal. Okay, she was hemorrhaging. Okay, so I want to deal with the fact that this blood, I want you to see this hemorrhage in the financial arena. Okay, because water circulates, right? Blood circulates, money supposed to circulate, not leak. She's leaking for 12 years. You don't want water leaking. We had a leak here. The city came and told us. We didn't even know we had a leak because it was in the walls underground. And the city came and said, hey, we noticed y'all bill. We hadn't even seen a bill, right? They just said, but I guess they monitored somehow. They said, hey, y'all got a problem at your church because you about to get a big bill. For what? You got a leak. We can't see a leak anywhere. And this leak was in the wall over near the men's bathroom and in the wall underground. And when we finally got the company to come out here and dig all that up and get to that pipe, it was almost a pinhole, just a little tiny hole in that little copper pipe that we were leaking. Half a gallon every minute. A half gallon every single minute. It was pumping out that much water. Now, we've gotten two bills since then, and they were right. It was a major leak. But that water not supposed to leak, it was supposed to circulate. But if you don't stop, cut off where it's leaking. Same thing with money. Money is supposed to circulate, y'all. Supposed to circulate here, okay? So same thing with our blood. How many of y'all have blood running warm in your veins? Shouldn't your blood be circulating in you? You know, it's circulating, you know, your heart goes through, it gets all that stuff. Your kidneys cleanse it all. Everything's doing its work and everything. That blood is circulating. What happens if part of your body doesn't get that circulation, doesn't get that blood? You get something called necrosis, right? Everything, your fingers start getting cold and things can start turning black and things just start dying off. It's, the reason is because you don't have any blood circulating through that area. That's why you got to walk and move and exercise and keep that blood moving. Keep that blood thin as opposed to thickening it up by sitting there and playing video games all day long. Okay? So money's got to circulate the same way. Okay? So every nation in the world tries to keep money circulating through its economy. Every nation does that. Remember a few years ago, and then way back in the Bush era, we all old enough to remember stimulus checks. Yes. How many of y'all remember stimulus checks? Yeah. I have news for you. The stimulus checks were not to stimulate you. They were given to stimulate the economy. They knew the mindset of most Americans. That you put a $900 check in Americans' pocket, you put $1,500 in Americans' pocket, and they're going to run right to International Mall and pump it back into the system. They were trying to prime the system. Oh, no, they're trying to help us right now. It wasn't to help us. It was to boost the economy. The stimulus is to boost the economy. But that's not how God works. God is different. God has a system called sowing and reaping.
Amen.
That's the system, right?
Amen.
And so God gives stimulus money too.
Yes.
2 Corinthians 9:10 says this. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower, come on, bread for the food, supply and multiply, come on, the seed you have sown and increase. So God gives stimulus money. It keeps his economy going. So money isn't supposed to accumulate. We can accumulate. We should accumulate. But it's not supposed to just accumulate. It's supposed to circulate. Haggai chapter 2 verse 19 says this. Is the seed still in the barn? See, it's got to circulate. Is the seed still in the barn? As yet the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree have not yielded fruit, but from this day I will bless you. So we don't want the seed stuck in the barn. So Zechariah chapter 8 verse 12. Zechariah 8 verse 12 says this, for the seed shall be prosperous. Now this is Haggai and Zechariah are written in the same time period, okay? For the seed shall be prosperous. Now watch this. And a result, the vine shall yield this, shall give its fruit. The ground shall give her increase. I don't have to read the rest of that. I just want you to see that. The seed in the barn doesn't do anything. You notice? The seed sown multiplies. It's supposed to be in circulation. Y'all got it? That's why God will tell us something like this in Galatians 6 verse 10. He says, as you therefore have opportunity to do good to all, especially to those who have the household of faith. When he says do good, he means bless somebody.
Amen.
Keep that money circulating.
Yes, sir.
Y'all quiet in here. Yes, bless somebody. Minister to somebody.
Yes.
Keep that money circulating.
Amen.
In fact, you don't want to be around stagnant water. You know what happens when you get stagnant water? Mosquitoes. Mosquitoes. Mosquitoes thrive in stagnant water that's not moving. But as long as you got water that's moving, rivers. You don't have no mosquitoes in no rivers. The water's moving. The water's circulating. If you get circulation, you don't get the irritation of mosquitoes. Okay. Now look at Matthew 9 again. Let's talk about this woman and close out. This woman, she didn't experience a sudden rapid loss of blood. Because if she had, that would have sent her body into shock. Her organs would have malfunctioned and she would have died. But what she experienced rather was a constant hemorrhaging, a constant weakness, a worsening pain in her body. In other words, like having famine year after year. So when she came to Jesus Christ, she had to push past all this stuff. Physical weakness, physical pain, emotional heartache, social and religious limitations. She's an outcast. But when you're desperate, when you're determined to be delivered, you push past all that stuff. If she had looked to religious leaders and asked for their permission, they would have told her no. If she had considered her own body, her body would have told her no. But faith never takes no for an answer. Make sure you don't forget that. Faith doesn't take no for an answer. Because faith knows, 2 Corinthians 1:20, all the promises of God in him are what?
Yes,
yes, and in him.
Amen.
Amen. His promises are what again?
Yes.
And in him what?
Amen.
So we always have our amen. So faith stands on that amen. Faith stands on that yes. So I don't consider like Abraham in Romans 4:19. Abraham did not consider his own body already dead, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. Y'all got it? Matthew 9:20. Let's wrap it up. Suddenly a woman who was had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. Everybody say she came from behind. Prophesy to your neighbor and tell him you're about to come from behind. I like come from behind. I'm a sports guy myself. I like to watch sports every once in a while. And I kind of like the underdog story. I like the one who see, I didn't see last night. The team I was rooting for didn't come from behind. They lost yesterday, praise God. But I like that come from behind when the other team's already celebrating. Another team already think they have this win on lock. And they start slacking up, getting a little casual, but you never lose your intensity. And all of a sudden, something happens called a momentum shift. And when a momentum shift happens, all of a sudden, you start putting them on their heels, and whereas they had you on your heels, now you have them on their heels, and you start overrunning them. That's what God will do your finances, that though you may sow and sow and sow and give and give and give, and it may seem like nothing happens for a while, but if you will keep going and sow in tears, you're going to reap in your joy. If you sow, continually sow bearing precious seed, you're going to doubtless come again rejoicing, having your sheaves with you, because you are going to eventually change the momentum. Tell somebody your momentum is about to shift. Let's say it again. Your momentum is about to shift. I've been sowing, I've been giving, I've been tithing, I've been perked, I've been doing what God told me to do. And it's looked like the devil's been trying to win over the body of Christ. But I declare for the whole body of Christ, our momentum is about to shift. For the Bible says in the book of Daniel that a time came for judgment to be made in favor of the saints. And the time came for the saints of God to possess the kingdom. And I believe in these last days, before Christ comes back, we're going to see our most glorious days, our greatest days, our most prominent days. And we've been on the losing end, but we cannot lose. We have the victory. We have the victory. We have the victory. And God is going to turn everything around in our lives. This woman came from behind. I love it. Now, I know physically it means she was behind him and came from behind. But allow the metaphor. She was behind in everything in her life. Sick, broke, no family, no friends, and outcast. She's behind in every area of her life. But the Bible says she came from behind. And notice she touched, watch this, and I'm done. She touched the hem of his garment. Notice what it says. She said in verse 21, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. Now notice, she didn't say, if I may touch him. She said, if I may touch the hem, H-E-M, of his garment. If I can just touch his clothes. What she understood was, I don't need to touch him. I just got to touch something that's touching him. When we tell people, Pastor, come give your offering, give your tithes. We're going to give to God. We don't take the money in the back and put it in a chute like at the bank and the money shoots up to heaven.
Come on. Keep it balanced.
Come on, we're going to give to God. Give to the Lord today. God never gets hold of that money. Not physically. What would he use the money for? Ain't no Walmart in heaven. Ain't no Dillard's. Ain't no. What are they going to do with it in heaven? He doesn't need it. But because the ministry that you sow into, or whatever God tells you to do, minister, partner, whatever he tells you to do, mission, whatever work you're sowing into in the earth, because it's connected to him, then it's as if you touched him. He asked in Mark, who touched my clothes? In Luke's account, he said, who touched me? Well, that's contradictory. No, it wasn't. Not contradictory. He understood that when you touch my clothes, you touch me. If I'm in baseball, if I'm a batter at the plate, and the pitcher pitches the ball, and the ball hits my jersey, I didn't feel it. It hit my jersey. Guess what happens? I get the walk. The ball didn't touch me, but it touched something connected to me. It's just the same as you hit me in my arm or in my face, because my clothes are connected to me. This woman touched the hem of his garment. It was connected to him. So when you give, when you sow, when you partner, when you tithe, the money doesn't shoot up to heaven and ain't no angelic Brinks trucks taking no money. It's going to the bank, man. But because what you give into is connected to him, virtue flows out. Jesus said, who touched me? Disciples said, hey, Jesus, you know, you asked me, you saw those people around here. He said, no. He said, I felt virtue go out of me. She never touched him. She never touched him. He said, but I felt virtue flow out of me. That meant she touched the garment. The garment was touching him. The virtue came out of him into the garment, and out of the garment into her. And this is what he said. Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you whole. See, whatever you do, do it in faith, expecting that you're going to receive something from God. The Bible says when Peter and John went to the temple to pray in Acts 3, a man crowd and asked him, hey, give me some alms. He asked for a handout. And Peter and John said, silver and gold we don't have here. He said, but such as I have, we give unto you in the name of Jesus. Before they said it, the Bible says he looked up expecting to receive something from them. They said, look on us. He said, he looked, expecting to receive something. He think he about to get a couple quarters. He knows he's going to get something better. But what would have happened if they had said, look on us, and he just wouldn't look? He would have been the same way. Because he looked in expectation, his faith allowed him to receive the power of God that came through those men. And we know it was that because Peter later on in the temple told them, they said, hey, don't look at us like we did anything. They said, his name, Jesus' name, and faith in that name has made this man whole. It wasn't us. They said Jesus did it. Now he got his healing through them.
Right.
Because they touched him. Peter reached out and grabbed his hand. They touched him. But he said, Jesus did this.
Right.
I'm done. Stand to your feet.
Praise God.
But I want to say this as you're standing. I say this over and over again in this church. And at always the risk of being labeled a heretic, labeled a charlatan, labeled some idiotic, demonic title, when you tell people the way out of financial lack is giving.
Amen.
Listen, I would love to give you another way to do it, because that would keep people from talking about me. I would have to be, Pastor Ned, we wouldn't have to worry about people talking about us if we just said, you know what, just pray and the Lord will bless you. We'll get invitations all over town if you just said, just pray, just let's sing three hymns and the Lord going to bless you. But we're going to say, no, let's do what the Bible says, and you're going to give. You're gonna honor God. You're gonna tithe. You're gonna partner. You're gonna sow. You're gonna bless people. You're gonna take care of the poor. Take care of the widows and the orphans. We say, you know, you're gonna do those things, and that's how God's gonna bless you. Oh, they all trying to get somebody money. Okay.
My God, Jesus.
I wish there was another way. I don't like being talked about. But it's just God's way. It's God's way. And whatever you give into, or whomever you give into, because didn't Jesus say that when you take care of the least of these, you've done it unto me? So that person out there on the street who you minister to, well, that wasn't Jesus. Jesus said, but yeah, hey, when we do it to you, Jesus, he said, when you did it to the least of these, you did it unto me. See, we're touching something that's touching him. And we do it releasing our faith, and then he brings the harvest back into our lives. Amen. You receive that tonight? You've got a praise for that word.